Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host.
If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm the home functionality coach and realtor. I geek out on various subjects regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. In this episode, let's discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. As the days get darker and colder in much of the Northern Hemisphere, it's easier than usual to feel down and gloomy. You'll be battling foul weather and grumbling under your breath as you wrap a scarf around your neck before opening the door. This podcast isn't just about the holidays, it's about winter in general, since it lasts far longer than just a singular holiday. Laura Vanderkam wrote an article for Fast Company about research done by Carrie Leibovitz, formerly a PhD student at Stanford and now a working professional. She spent August 2014 to June 2015 on a Fulbright scholarship in northern Norway. Leibovitz went to study the residents' mental health because rates of seasonal depression there were lower than one might expect, given it's so far north that from late November to late January, the sun never even climbs above the horizon. At first, she was asking, why aren't people here more depressed? Wondering if there were lessons that could be learned and applied elsewhere. But once she was there, she realized that that was the wrong question to be asking. When she asked people, why don't you have seasonal depression? The answer was, well, why would we? It turns out that in northern Norway, people view winter as something to be enjoyed and not something to be endured. That makes all the difference. Small Norwegian communities are tightly knit, and strong social ties increase well-being everywhere, no matter where you live. But there's a lesson to be learned here that can help anyone think differently about cold weather. What I've learned through this article is Norwegians celebrate the things you can only do in the winter. People look forward to the ski season. Getting outside is a known mood booster, and so Norwegians kept going outside, whatever was happening out there. I love this so much. There's a saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. I think I'm gonna have to use that again. Norwegians also have a word, koselig, that means a sense of coziness. It's like the best part of Christmas without all the stress. Why don't we have a word like this in English? Cozy doesn't quite tell the whole story. People light candles, they light fires, they drink warm beverages and sit under fuzzy blankets. There's a community aspect to it too. It's not just an excuse to sit on the couch and watch Netflix. There are plenty of festivals and community activities creating the sense that everyone was celebrating winter together. There's so much to be learned from this. They seem to be enamored with the sheer beauty of the season. Leibovitz noticed that one of the things we do a lot in the States is we bond by complaining about the winter. It's hard to have a positive wintertime mindset when we make small talk with each other by being negative about this time of year. Next time you catch yourself wanting to complain, try a positive spin. I love that I have the chance to wear these boots. These are my favorite boots. Perhaps you can talk about how the cold gives you a chance to drink some decadent hot chocolate or ice skate. Perhaps it finally gives you time to practice the calligraphy you've been longing for time to learn. If it's important, you'll make time for it. And this time of year, it's especially lovely to be indoors too. Bundle up and go for a walk outdoors, knowing that you'll likely feel warmer and happier after just a few minutes. Better yet, go with a friend. Mindset research is increasingly finding that it doesn't take much to shift one's thinking. It doesn't have to be this huge, complicated thing. You can just consciously try to have a positive wintertime mindset, and that might be enough to induce it. One thing I often hear during the summer is we've been running around so much, concerts in the park, summer vacation, and yard work, I just haven't had time to stay still long enough to... what? Fill in the blank here. Tackle learning calligraphy like I've wanted to, try some new recipes in my Instapot, knit or organize my closet. Transport yourself mentally back to summer. What were you thinking you needed to do but didn't want to spend the extra time indoors to do it? Celebrate that you have time now. Embrace the day as time to recharge and reconnect with people you love. Gardening tends to be an activity reserved for spring and fall, but during the winter you can focus on your indoor plants. Are they in the right planter, or have they outgrown it? Do they need a grow light? If you haven't listened to podcast number 6 yet about windows and lighting, you'll want to check that out. So many good things to think about that involve bringing more light into your home, which also directly affects your mood. Are you leaving to visit relatives for a stretch of time this November or December? Save up to 10% on heating costs by lowering your thermostat while you're gone by 10 degrees. Also, completely shut down and unplug things while you're gone to decrease the pull on those outlets. And then let us count our blessings. Sledding, skating, snowshoeing, skiing, snowmobiling, and snowboarding are all things that are typically not enjoyed without winter, so let's appreciate this most wonderful time of the year. January and February are a great time to implement family cook night. Cook a meal as a family with each member in charge of a different course, or if the kiddos aren't quite old enough for that yet, at least everyone can chip in and stir, add things to the pot, etc. Cut down on your oven's energy consumption by using the oven light to check on food instead of opening the door. You'll maintain the correct temperature and minimize your oven having to reheat itself. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about finding all the gift bags that came into your house over the past year and seeing how many of those might be in colors you can upcycle for this holiday. If you've gotten Amazon gifts in past years that came wrapped, I'm using air quotes here, you know that these bags shouldn't go into a landfill, but are the easiest thing ever for reuse. This also cuts down on time wrapping with paper and the waste from it. $970 million in gift card cash went unused in 2015 alone, which is the most recent year I could even find statistics on it without spending way too much time. Since 2005, some $45.7 billion has been floating around in unused gift card balances. And now for questions to ask yourself about your home space and your reason. Question number one, where do you keep your gift cards? Find them, put them in a pile, and assess what you will actually use, and perhaps even use some for this season's holiday purchases. I recommend actually putting them in your purse or wallet where your money is, or your debit card is, so when you thoughtlessly grab for it to pay for the next thing, you're reminded it's there to use it instead. If it's for a specific store, plan to go there with this in your pocketbook with a strategy on what you need and how you can use it once and for all. The statistics are staggering about how much money is just sitting on unused gift cards, probably in your junk drawer. Neiman Marcus was the first to sell the plastic gift cards we use today, but they didn't advertise and display them. It was actually Blockbuster who first displayed them in stores. Remember them? The next big gift card seller was Starbucks, who in 2001 introduced cards that worked more than once. Number two, what is the one main thing on your to-do list that you dread the most about the holidays? One long day of baking? Whatever it is, who can you call right now and set a date with to do this activity with you? Invite them on the premise that the holidays are supposed to be about spending quality time with one another, and this thing I have to do shouldn't be something I dread, so I want to spend it with someone I enjoy and turn it into a happy thing. If you are baking, have them come bake with you, make double batches, and split all the goods at the end of the day. If it's making Chex Mix, maybe invite them over after you Christmas shop and do a combination gift wrapping and Chex Mix session, getting gifts wrapped while the Chex Mix is roasting. Say that three times fast. You get the point here. Take a negative, strategize on how you can turn it into a positive, and put the plans in place to make it happen. Number three, potluck it in a classy way. I want you to remember three things here. Simmering pot, main dish, and hors d'oeuvres. That's it. That's the key to hosting and stressing less. Smells have a stronger link to memory and emotion than any of the other senses, and the smell everyone will remember is the one simmering in your home all day. Bring the woodsy smell of a winter forest into your home by slowly simmering pine needles, berries, and cinnamon in a crock pot without the lid. Food. Stop stressing here. There are easier ways. Make the one main dish and ask everyone to bring the sides or desserts, etc. I think it's extra fun to make a thing out of it. Aunt Sue, what are you most known for? What dish is your jam? Have her bring that, possibly even every year. Make it like a this is my jam potluck, focusing on the dishes everyone has worked to perfect and tweak year after year. If you set up your potluck menu around the things each family member is most proud of, the cooking duties are spread out, and you can look forward to tasting your way through and talking about everyone's specialties. I get it. You want to have food setting out for people to graze as they show up. So set out an antipasto platter for hors d'oeuvres because it's an elegant and hassle-free way to impress a broad crowd of people. Include mortadella and prosciutto alongside sliced apples, a good quality sourdough, maybe some stuffed olives, a hard cheese, and a sprig of something green out of your herb garden, and it looks so outstanding and beautiful, and yet it didn't involve an ounce of cooking. Lastly, set up a DIY drink station with the hot cocoa set out along with some cinnamon sticks, marshmallows, and hot water staying warm, maybe in the coffee pot. Everyone can help themselves, and perhaps the adults can add a shot of scotch if that's your thing. I'll include a list of 16 recipes for hot chocolate adult style for a cold winter night. I'll put it in the podcast notes and on the private Facebook page. Number four, when you bake, can you make more than you need? I'm a fan of baking cookies once for almost the whole year. The cutout cookies I make freeze perfectly, and I never use that word perfect, so for me to say that is a big deal. I don't frost them, and when I pull them out, you can't even tell they've been frozen at all. I usually do my baking in August, but it can be done at any time of the year, and winter is a great time. I cut out the usual Christmas ornament shapes, and then fall leaves, which I take on Thanksgiving, a few hearts, which I pull out for Valentine's Day, some dice that I decorate when I host neighborhood bunko. And if I have an idea what theme my son wants for his birthday, I do a few of those too. I put them all unfrosted in a heavy container that freezes well and only pull them out to warm to room temperature and then frost when the occasion arrives. I'm a big fan of this because you can really focus on making the cookies themselves great since you aren't frosting them at the same time, and I think frosting them is the fun part. So get the baking done, big batch style, and you'll pat yourself on the back 10 times throughout the coming months when all you have to do is pull out the relevant cookies and enjoy decorating them. Number five, if you have guests staying with you, do you have luggage racks? I notice mine get used so much. The guests appreciate not having to get down on the floor a zillion times to access their suitcases, and it keeps the space more neat and tidy. This is especially true for older guests. Typically, the older the person, the more difficult it is for them to be at floor level and easily get up and down. The other thing I love is luggage racks fold up and can sit neatly between a dresser and a wall or on the side of your closet, whatever. Number 6. Are you a music family? Do you have guitars or instruments that come out this time of year for jam sessions? If you have an empty wall that you haven't been able to decide what to fill it with, art or photos or whatever, consider hanging your guitars as art. I love this idea because it's aesthetically pleasing. It says something about the people that live there. It's a sentimental thing and usually very important to the people who play them. And this is a way to organize them in a way that's easy to access so they get used more. It quite literally checks all of my boxes: functionality, aesthetics, and organization. Okay, well, maybe we're missing automation, but you see how great this is. As always, I'll post photos on our private Facebook group page, Home, Space, and Reason. If you haven't yet joined, send me a ping. Number 7, use your smart home automation devices. No matter which one you have, keeping a list of tasks will help you cut down on the seemingly never-ending list of things to do in no time at all. When you're ready for a new task, you can ask, "Hey, smart home device, what's on my to-do list?" Use the timer feature if you have multiple things cooking that need different timers set. You can ask, for example, for it to set a potato timer for 15 minutes or a roast timer for an hour and a half, and then find out how much time is left by using the name in your inquiry. The microwave can't do that, just saying. You can ask your smart home device, "Where does Santa Claus live?" or to read "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Whether you have questions like converting cups to ounces or asking which side of the plate the fork goes on, your smart home device is primed with all sorts of holiday-related tidbits, including hacks and jokes and stories. Both can give you updates on Santa's location. Do you have LED holiday lights now? If not, consider it because you'll save 75% in energy costs compared to the older style holiday lights. The last one is number 8. One last bit of technology. Download the Hello Vino app so when you're at the store searching for just the right bottle of wine, you could snap a photo of a wine label and get taste details, pairings, and ratings from professionals. It takes all the guesswork out of choosing just the right bottles. It uses artificial intelligence to learn about your wine preferences as you rate your favorites. The app will make new wine recommendations based on your activity and settings. Genius. Yes, have so much fun enjoying that wine, but let's also be aware that winter is the time most house fires happen. So let's put on our "let's be responsible grown-ups" hat for a minute. It's the time of year when the furnace is working hard and we're building fires in our fireplaces. We are also more likely to have our homes closed up, so carbon monoxide is a much bigger hazard. Check out all of your smoke detectors to make sure they're working and that they have good batteries. If your home is not equipped with carbon monoxide detectors, consider getting some. Carbon monoxide is an odorless, colorless, and toxic gas that claims almost 430 lives a year. When I was little, my family almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning in our home from a faulty furnace. This was in the 1970s, before carbon monoxide detectors were a thing. Luckily, my parents noticed that every time we left and spent time on my grandparents' farm, we would start to feel better. But when we came home, we got more sick. It's a byproduct of burning carbon fuel like the natural gas in your stove and the gasoline in your car. Even small doses of carbon monoxide can cause permanent damage or death, so we were lucky. Carbon monoxide is deadly because it's so hard to detect without a carbon monoxide sensor, so at least get one. If not even a couple, place them near your bedrooms. The cost is minimal, between $20 and $40. If you have one or a few already, don't assume the batteries are good. Check them. Your lives are worth it. How many touristy things are right near where you live, but you've never been to them? I find this happens often. People might travel across states to visit the place, but you live in the same town and you've never been. Put it on your list and enjoy it this winter. I just did a podcast on the homes of famous historical figures. If you live by any of these, this is a wonderful time to go check them out. Do you listen to books? I understand the desire for the tactile physicality of a book and the pleasure of sitting down with one to read, but there are so many times you can enjoy an audiobook that you can't a physical book, so do both. Perhaps the commute isn't the only time they come in handy. What about on a walk or at the gym? Thinking of things differently and tweaking your day can add interest to your winter. Books can make you think, help your mind grow, and challenge you. Alternate subject matters. Maybe the audiobook is a self-growth book and your physical book is fiction. Have you read Educated yet? I listened to this memoir and highly recommend it. Wowza, it's a bestseller and it won't disappoint. Educated, written by Tara Westover. Yes, this time of year can be stressful, but what if you willingly shifted your mindset about it and went in thinking differently? This year, I'm going to remind myself of what I'm grateful for. I'm going to intentionally buy less and gather with my friends more, but not in a stressful, must-have-the-house-perfect kind of way. In Norway, the prevailing sentiment is that winter is something to be enjoyed, not something to be endured. It's the cozy time of year, for goodness sake, and that means pleasure. Did you know you can hire me no matter where you live? If you're really stuck on what to do with one particular space in your home, I have consultations open now via FaceTime. Check out my website, spaceandreason.com, and click on the link Imagine. If you happen to live in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area and you'd like to hire me as your home coach or as your realtor, reach out to me through social media, my website, or via email, Christina with a K at spaceandreason.com. If you enjoyed this show, please give me a shout out by rating the episode. I wish ratings didn't matter, but the platforms either recommend this podcast or not, based on your ratings or lack thereof. Follow me under the handle at Space and Reason on Instagram and tag me in your winter posts. Thanks for spending your valuable time with me. Tell your friends and spread the word about creating a home that thrives.